Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Sideline reporter for Bears Radio, WBBM.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
A Bears report with Mark Grody. We will get to in a second, but just to update the news story, the tragedy from earlier, much worse than initially reported. 14 kids dead at an elementary school in Texas. Their teacher killed as well. The shooter dead. And the shooter reportedly, according to Texas Governor Greg Abbott, killed his grandmother before at his home before heading to the school. So 14 kids, the teacher, the grandmother, and the shooter. So that's 17 dead, 16 victims.
You're going to go out. Just go out. What are you doing?
I don't know, man. We have lost the plot. Mark Grody always injects happiness into our life. It is just another sad day in America. Grody, it was an interesting day at Hallis Hall. I apologize for the very awkward transition, man. This is not on you. This is on me. But mentioned it earlier. Wanted to give the update, given that the last time we mentioned it, there had only been two dead. We had Tevin Jenkins speak. We had Cole Kmet speak. We had Matt Eberflus speak. And you got to watch the mini camp. Is that correct?
Yeah. We got to watch every minute of the practice. Danny, it's totally okay, man. I had not heard any of that news. That's what happens when you're covering a team. You're just so soaked into it. So my heart has sunk and goes out to everybody. So I appreciate that you gave us the headline there. But yes, another full practice today for these guys. And one thing that has been static, actually, for the Bears, that has remained the same throughout the early stages of the Matt Eberflus regime, is that there has been a fairly consistent offensive line, with Lucas Patrick being the center, with Cody Whitehair and today a lot of Dakota Dozier at the guard spots, and most importantly, Larry Borum playing left tackle, and they moved Tevin Jenkins over to right tackle. And today was the first time, gentlemen, that we got to talk to Tevin Jenkins about playing right tackle, and here's how he sounds about that.
Feels good. That's what I played mostly in college, so it is comfortable. It is nice, and I do look forward to keep on getting these reps at right tackle.
Do you think that will be your position this year?
From
your understanding?
From my understanding right now, as of right now, yeah, it is.
I mean, it sounds like you want that.
I play wherever they need me. Get in where you fit in.
Man.
Get in where you fit in.
What does it say about Ryan Pace that he lets Charles Leno walk, who actually has a pretty nice year in Washington, and trades up to draft a right tackle to put at left tackle, and the new regime immediately puts him back at right tackle?
No, that's such a great point, Speaks.
It's unbelievable.
That is so true.
So pathetic.
Drafted him to be the left tackle, but he played more right tackle in college.
Yeah, that's
sounded,
what he does well.
And he was. I mean, yes, that was a very good synopsis. The only detail left out is they drafted a hurt guy.
Yeah, right.
And so then they had to sign Jason Peters, who is a left tackle, and then that put Tevin Jenkins outside of left tackle. So the injury component of it.
I should have added that in.
Yeah, they drafted
the hurt. I'll tighten it up for next time. Yeah,
If I had one note.
Yeah.
But I mean, he does have the right mindset, and if he is a starting caliber plus right tackle, that is still a worthwhile second-round pick. So even if he's not a left tackle, it still can be a worthwhile selection in the end, correct?
Absolutely, and you know it, the important part of that cut, too, is that he said this is what it is right now. I actually circled back within the press conference and said, you know, again, they did give some wiggle room for this to change, and he said absolutely, yes. So is he going to be the Bears' right tackle? I don't know. It is still possible that he will get a look at left tackle, or maybe this is what they're going with until Larry Borum does something that they look at and say he can't play left tackle.
Well, you got to start somewhere. We know that Pat Mattingly was not a big fan of the spike step of Tevin Jenkins, so that's,
oh, that's right.
That's the entirety of my offensive line analysis in terms of him specifically. Is Tevin Jenkins having difficulty learning the Luke Getsy offense and the new, what is it, Chris Morgan, the offensive line coach?
That's right, Speaks. And yeah, I don't know if he's having trouble learning it, but there are things that go along with this particular type of offensive line that are, let's just say, challenging. Here's Tevin on that.
Yeah, it is a big difference. It's a lot more faster pace, more up-tempo, getting around, setting edges, all that stuff. And how that affects you is you got to slim down a little bit more and start getting, like I say, more faster, a little speeding up in certain areas.
Is that a huge challenge to do?
I'm ready to slim down right now. I'm ready down to 325. And last season I was up to 345. And I got down to, I believe, at the end of last season, I was 33% body fat, and now I'm down to about 24.
Do you like doing Pilates, or is that like torture?
You ever do a Pilates workout? It is. Yeah, it is. Oh, my God. Oh. But it's good for you, so I'm happy to do it.
Devin, you talk about slimming down and the discipline that goes with it. Does that mean you had to cut out some foods you love, or how did that diet go?
Yeah. There's a lot of things you had to cut out. So at dinner, I tried to cut out carbs. It's like anything, like, you know how hard it is to cut out like mac and cheese, rice. It's the perfect go-to when you're going with a meal. I've been trying to cut out some more alcohol out of my system, so I'm trying to get more cleansed out, I guess. And also that does help with your body fat. Instead of drinking all that beer, all that fat just sits on you, so you just burn it off.
You can still barbecue whatever you want.
Hey, not wrong.
Oh, your relationship is adorable.
I like everything about that. Me too. I like Mark Carmen is a great addition to the Bears beat. I continue to say it.
Absolutely.
The Pilates, is that brutal for you? Yeah. And then, yeah, Tevin Jenkins is just a nice man.
Oh, man.
Simple.
He's trying to cleanse the beer out of his system.
Drinking less, winning more.
So no more carbs. He's like, but you know, I mean, mac and cheese is just a perfect thing to go with any meal.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That's what everyone says, like my toddler and, you know, people like that.
He said, do you do a Pilates workout?
Yeah. Do you guys have a skyscraper?
It's the exact same tone. Exact same tone. That's what he does.
Yeah. I love this guy.
Early in the presser, you know, again, I have to edit. I can't play every – I actually considered doing this entire Bears hit on Tevin Jenkins, but – early on, he talked about the Pilates and was like advertising. He's like, I do it at a place in Lake Forest, gave the name of the place. He's like, I definitely suggest it.
That's payola. You know, that's cool. Payola. Leave that alone.
Yeah, I don't know, something like that. But yeah, he's really into the Pilates, and I agree with you as well, Parco, that Mark Carmen has been a dream. He's been a dream on the beat. There's no doubt about it. Absolutely.
All right, so that's from the line. Cole Kmet.
Yes.
People have written him off. I think that's – a mistake. He still is very young. It's a tough position to transition to in the NFL.
He looks good running down the field sometimes, doesn't he?
I think I
want to see him do more of that.
Yeah. So where are we at on Tevin Jenkins today, Grody?
Yeah. Well, you mean Cole Kmet. I know we love
Tevin
Jenkins.
What did I say?
Jenkins.
Yeah, Cole Kmet.
You said Tevin Jenkins.
Cole
I know
Kmet.
This is the show that we're allowed to correct each other on.
Please.
So,
yeah.
But Cole Kmet.
Which shows are you not allowed to correct people on?
No, I think that most shows. I have just learned that it's very much. It's actually it's encouraged because of the ball busting that goes on this show
yeah.
to
yeah.
correct each other.
Yeah,
it's actually
Cole Kmet. What I meant.
Yes, Cole Kmet.
Stop talking about other shows, Mark.
Yeah, I knew what you meant, and I still corrected you. That is, I'm ripping on all the other shows. Cole Kmet, his Bears life has been wacky. Take a listen.
Yeah, so I think when you look back on it, you know, you see that, I mean, really for my first 2 years here, I've had a lot of, not just quarterbacks, but quarterback changes. So it's tough. I mean, it's tough on a player, you know, you're trying to get feel for guys and, you know, different kind of scheme changes with depending on who the quarterback is. So for me, just always doing what I'm asked, and at the end of the day, it's all you can control. So I'm just going to keep doing that and keep working at it.
Do you feel like it's almost like you're starting over again this year?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you're starting over again. But I'm optimistic. I'm totally bought into what's going on here. Coach Eberflus has come up with a great mindset that I think is really good for this team. You know, obviously we're young. But, you know, I'm totally bought into what's going on here, and I'm excited for it.
Do you feel more pressure because of that, because you have a new regime that you have to impress?
No, not, I mean, shoot. My uncle played 17 years, and I asked him, this was when I was young, I remember it was my dad asking him, how did you play for that long? And he's like, you feel like you're getting cut every day. And that's a tough feeling, but, like, that's how you got to come here every day. So, like, regardless if it was the old scheme or old regime, new regime, whatever it is, it's – this is the NFL, like, you know, the jobs are on the line every day, so you got to come to work like that.
I like that.
Yeah, saying all the right things.
Well, and feeling all the right things and acting all the right, like, go ahead. Feel like your job's in jeopardy. Show up strong every damn day. It's good.
They need it, man. They need somebody. Like, I think Mooney you can count on. I think the running backs should be fine to good. They need someone. They need a Kmet,
yeah.
A Jones, a St. Brown, a Pringle. They need someone to shock us.
You're totally right. Here's the good news. The quarterback on day one of training camp is going to be the quarterback who matters the most. He will have a chance to develop said chemistry with some of those people.
That'll help.
He didn't have a chance to do that last year in the idiotic regime that was
here. And one of the most, I'll use your word, speaks, idiotic things about last year was the fact that Cole Kmet had zero touchdown catches. And this is your tight end, your big man, your red zone threat.
Right. I mean, Justin Fields was developing chemistry with who? Jesse James and Jesper Horsted?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I mean, those were his guys. It's ridiculous.
He's the only one left. Like when we were counting tight ends a couple of years ago and there were 10 of them or at this point a couple of years ago, Cole Kmet is the only one left out of that whole group. And he was – I thought it was pretty funny the way Brad Biggs asked this question to Cole Kmet in regards to
– We wouldn't know.
See, I have access to Brad Biggs.
Wow.
And so I'm going to bring it to you.
How's that feel?
In audio. It's great. It's great. And now it is for you guys and the masses of listeners. Here it is.
The losing last year had to be the most frustrating thing. Where does not getting a damn ball in the red zone –
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so I think I look back on it and, you know, I look back at each part of my game and, you know, that was obviously an area that was lacking for me. And so I look at it and you look at what opportunities you had in the red zone. So the two that I like really look back that I kind of wish I had back were the one against San Fran against Warner in the end zone, where honestly, just a timing thing between Justin wanted one place, I went the other. That's something that I think we're going to have figured out this year. You know, that's one of them. And then the same thing, there was one in Green Bay, a low ball that just skipped off the ground. But so those are the two that I look at that I wish I would have had back, and that's really all I can look at and kind of assess myself on with that type of stuff.
On a week-to-week basis, there had to be stuff in there for you that just –
Yeah, I mean, sometimes things don't work out. They play coverage here, the coverage there, and, you know, just it doesn't work out. But it is what it is. Like I said, I got to focus on my thing and not worry about the rest.
Yeah, it's a cliche. I mean, again, they need someone. Like, they need someone in the red zone to be a guy. And when we had Ron Veal on, the Justin Fields' private quarterback coach, since he was in sixth grade,
he told
us that Komet was down there, you know, working out. So you're talking about like training camp, he'll be able to get the rapport with these guys. With Komet and Mooney,
good.
It's already been happening on the practice fields down in Georgia. So hopefully Komet is that dude, because he is the highest pedigree guy. He's the highest pedigree pass catcher that the Bears have in terms of draft position. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy, but he absolutely is. There's something cooking here with Jalen Johnson. And for the past couple weeks, like every time he talks, every time he comes up, the hackles, the hairs on my arm standing up a little bit when Jalen got defensive. You played us that tape last week, Mark, and got defensive about stuff. And it's like, he's just not the new shiny penny of a corner anymore. There's a new one, and he's got a new regime to try and impress. So what do we make of these reports today that he was playing with the second string? What's going on?
Yeah, man. I mean, I observed the whole thing out there, and early on, we saw, those of us that are here at Hallis Hall, Bears reporters, we see the rookie Kyler Gordon and Kendall Vildor starting at corner early on in the practice. Okay, all right, well, let's see if that changes eventually. It didn't. Then we're like, okay, once they do official 7-on-7, that's going to change. Nope, it didn't change. And you had, like you said, Spiggs, Jalen Johnson was out there running with the twos the entire time. I don't think there was one time where he went up against Justin Fields and the Bears' number one offense. So that was one of the first questions I asked Matt Eberflus, and this is his response. He will tell you whether or not to read into it, and then he will talk more about his evaluation of Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, I wouldn't read into that right now. You know, he's just getting back into action right now, so we're just seeing where he is with his conditioning and those types of things. But ones and twos, we're moving all guys around. We have a bunch of guys with the ones, with the twos. We have some threes in there, but nothing to read into that at this time. Yeah, I looking at him, like I said last week, I didn't get a chance to look at him, and now I've seen him for a week. And I like what I see. I mean, he's moving around really good. His change of direction is nice. He's got really good hands. As you know, he has good size. So now just really looking at his coverage ability, and it's in a good spot, and it's in a really good spot. So we're just working with him and, again, trying to assess his skills, and we'll coach him as we go.
I mean,
is it true? Were there other obvious starters who were with second and third team, Grody, that you guys could see?
Other starters? No, not really. No, I mean, well, like this was the obvious one.
Right, he said, like, don't read anything into it. He's just working his way back.
We're playing guys
in all of these other places.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, there were times when, like, especially with the defensive line, it was difficult to get a read on exactly who is going to be, you know, filtering guys in and out.
Yeah, it's a position where you rotate guys.
Correct.
But starting corner plays every snap.
Right. And there were times, like, I can't sit here and tell you that I saw 100% of the offensive starters that normally run with the first string doing first, like they may have filtered through another guy, but like the offensive line stayed exactly the same. Darnell Mooney stayed where he was. I mean, this was glaring. You know, this was glaring,
right?
He wasn't. So,
hey Groats, am I missing something? Does he need to work on his conditioning in some way that's different than every other player that's there? Is there an injury? Was there a period of inactivity? Is there anything in Jalen's recent past that needs to be worked on?
The only thing that I could think of, and this is probably a question one of us probably should have asked, but I guess my brain went to, well, he has missed a couple of the mini camp, I think he missed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it is that or if he is just not exactly where they want him conditioning wise at this point. But I do think that the whole thing is interesting.
I don't think it really doesn't sound or feel like an accident. And I think that's a pretty good job of lying there by Matt Eberflus.
We all know that's what they do.
Because as long as he talks to Jalen about it and they deal with it, that's fine. I don't care what he says to us about it.
But you know, the thing is we know that he's better than Kendall Vildor, right?
Yes.
Jalen Johnson is better than Kendall Vildor. So that's a point in the favor of Eberflus and taking him at his word and thinking, all right, for some reason he's playing second string. Is it because of, you know, they want to get him in better shape? Is it really because they're evaluating his coverage skills at this point still? Is it because he wanted to put a lockdown guy on some of the second and third string receivers that are trying out for this team? I'm not sure what we got as far as the real answer is concerned, but I would tend to believe that eventually we will see Jalen Johnson being a starting cornerback with perhaps Kyler Gordon.
But I think they're going to be the starters week one.
Yeah, for sure. But like at this point, like I could see lots of different coaches, good coaches, thoughtful coaches doing something punitive for whatever reason. You know, like go ahead and run with the twos because he missed a couple of the OTAs like you're talking about, or because something happened behind closed doors. We know he was late to a meeting and got fined and shared that last year. So who knows what has gone on behind closed doors? You know, who knows?
Yeah, well, that's very true. And there are probably things that we don't know. And we don't see we got to see 3/4 of the practice today, but there is a period of time in all of these practices that we don't get to see and see every little thing that goes on, every little starter that's lining up. But again, this is the one that stood out.
Right. I guess it strikes me as like, I'm all for coaches, managers, anybody in sports using stuff like this punitively, if that is indeed what's happening, to try and make a point in a teaching atmosphere. I'm all for it.
Exactly. And that is a big if, and I guess we'll find out in the next couple of weeks if when we return here again in early June, if everything is back to normal, which it very well could be, but we shall see.
All right, so what did he say about my beloved Justin Fields?
Parco?
I mean, what kind of Bears report is this?
Bearing
the damn lead.
Dude, I got
making
the obligatory. Nobody had asked a question about Justin Fields, I don't think. So I asked the obligatory question.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. I said, okay, here we are again. This is yet another week for you to evaluate Justin Fields. What'd you think today? And Matt Eberflus?
I would say, man, he throws a good deep ball. I would say that. I'm excited about that. And you can see it in the 7-on-7 and the 11-on-11s. And we're going to take our shots down the field. And, man, he does a nice job doing that. And that's what stands out to me.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, sure. Yeah, he does. He throws a beautiful deep ball. Uh-huh. Did in college. He did last year. You remember that game against the Lions? Beautiful deep ball.
You want to hear that one again, Danny? Was that long enough for you? Was it short?
Kind of short. It was the shortest cut.
Yeah, it really was.
Danny, can we hear about Justin Fields' deep ball one more time, please?
I would say, man, he throws a good deep ball.
Oh. Man, thank you. That was great. Oh.
He really does. Honestly, this is progress because usually it's, oh, he's the first guy in and the last guy out, and this guy's a leader, and man, people love him. He gave us something today. That was pretty concrete, I thought. Throws a nice deep ball.
He's learned some stuff. I think they should keep letting him sit in on the meetings for the offensive staff.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, he was asked about Luke Getsy today. And said, he said, I think all our coaches are great. So,
he must have
said
something.
Up your skull for you.
We got any nuggets, Grody?
Yeah, you know the name that's popping up. We talked to the assistant coaches today, and two assistant coaches, the secondary coach and the safety coach, both mentioned Jaquan Brisker as standing out and being really adept at the peanut punch. They do call it the peanut punch, and they said, I said, why is he better? He said, I don't know. He just got, like, there's a lot of vision to it, they said, and that you got to really muscle the thing. Like, there's an actual skill to it. So Jaquan Brisker standing out for the Bears. And Gary Fensick, 85 Chicago Bear, was at the practice. So naturally, like a moth, I started talking to Gary Fensick. He was here to there was a program going on here today. I think it might have been some advertisers from our building, actually, that were out here today. So Gary Fensick was speaking, and I started to talk to him, and I said, I brought up a very deep topic with him that you guys should feel free to jump on. What if the Bears didn't win the Super Bowl in 1986? What is the butterfly effect of all sports in Chicago, the way we treat those guys? Would the Bears have won another title since then? A couple, maybe? That goes deep, because you could talk about it with any sport. Would the Cubs have been as motivated? Would the Sox have been as motivated? Would, you know, there are so many things that may or may not have happened.
Doesn't matter.
Danny,
does not matter. Oh, no.
When's your next overnight shift? Because that sounds like 3 hours.
Yeah.
That sounds like 3 hours of a show right there.
Oh, Oh, and he shared with me, too, that the Super Bowl Shuffle was initially called the Shuffle. And that's why he said, yeah, I was cool with it being called the Shuffle, but I didn't want them to put Super Bowl in there. But then they changed it on me. So it was initially called the Shuffle.
Spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen that video. Yes.
Breaking news on the score brought to you by the Beat the Streak podcast. Get an inside edge on how to win the $5.6 million prize every day this baseball season.
Yes, and I would be doing a score overnight on Thursdays. I will share the rest of my nuggets from Gary Fensick. Excuse me on that particular night.
Bears.
So.
Bears. All right, Grody. See you later, buddy.
Bye, Bears.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's the greatest. Rick Hahn spoke today. Very newsy day. Tanny and Shane going to the Sox game tonight with our newest teammate here at the score, Gabe Ramirez. So we'll get into that as well. Interesting matchups for both the Cubs and the Sox tonight. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Congratulations. Who gives a
afternoons on the score.
Ask me after the parade.
Don't know if there will be a parade this year or not, but they responded to some adversity with a doubleheader sweep of the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. This is the first game of a homestand. That is when general managers often make themselves available to the local media. Lots for Rick Hahn to discuss today, man.
Yeah, man. There's injured guys coming back. There's really good players going on the COVID list like Luis Robert did today. And there's obviously the drama and unfortunate situation that took place in New York.
And how they're going to handle the rotation going forward as more and more guys come into the equation. Here is Rick Hahn.
All right, a couple items to start us off here. Obviously, the news of the day being Luis Robert. Unfortunately, he is suffering from mild COVID symptoms. The good news is he is vaccinated, so hopefully his experience is relatively mild throughout, and we have him back at some point, very possibly next week. Certainly not going to play in the Boston series and very likely not going to play against the Cubs this weekend. In more positive injury news, as you guys just saw, Lance Lynn completed a couple of rounds of batting practice today. including against Eloy Jimenez, who is looking very good at this time. And it's reasonable to expect that both players will continue on a pace that would allow them to begin rehab assignments within the next week for both players. What else? Any other news going on? As for the events of this weekend, don't have a ton to add publicly other than the fact that tremendously proud of the way that teammates coalesce around TA this weekend. The support that was shown both on the field and in the clubhouse, I think, was remarkable and something this organization, players and staff, should be very proud of. At this point, from our perspective, our focus is now on trying to find a way to beat the Red Sox, who come in here extremely hot, and we hope to be able to cool them off here over the next few days.
Can you separate yourself from the general manager of the White Sox and just as a citizen?
Gladly.
And give us an answer as a citizen as to what you thought of how this was handled.
No, unfortunately, I cannot give you the citizen Han point of view on this because I do wear the hat of general manager. So my thoughts and opinions have been shared both inside the clubhouse and as with those at the commissioner's office. And all those are private conversations. I'm going to keep them as such. Again, though, couldn't be more proud of the way the team responded as a group. Certainly was a great afternoon and evening on Sunday night in the Bronx and on a national stage, which made it even better. Go ahead.
Are you at least glad that some kind of discipline came down? And Tim also told us Josh or no one from the Yankees organization has reached out. Is there some disappointment in that?
Again, at this point, we're looking forward. There's no need for me to share personal opinions on how things have been handled throughout, other than, again, to tell you how remarkably proud I am of this group. You know, there's been a lot of questions. Obviously, we didn't get off to the start that we had hoped. There had been some questions about this group's ability to weather the injuries and a slow start, perhaps a little underperformance early on. And I think a lot of what those of us associate with the club on a daily basis would go back on with the strength of that group in there and the unity of that group in there as a potential avenue towards us pulling out of this and not getting ourselves derailed early by a slow start. I think that character and that closeness was on display for the entire country this weekend.
How about Tim's response? When you talk about the players, how about Tim's response hitting the three-run homer?
I think it was awesome. That is the best response you could possibly have. I know my understanding is he didn't speak to reporters before the game. Everyone inside that clubhouse knew how he felt and he knew everyone had his back. And then he went out on the biggest stage we had that weekend and showed the world precisely who he is, which I thought was awesome.
That's it. He chose a way to handle it to not continue the news cycle.
Who's that, Rick Hahn?
Yeah, you know, like that. I think that was like a very calculated media choice to make, and I think a totally fine and understandable one. Given, I mean, the incident happened Saturday.
Yeah,
and the suspension has been handed down. Today's Tuesday. Do you want to bring it into the Boston series, say something, and then potentially have your guys have to answer for what you say Tuesday after the game or Wednesday before the game? That struck me as a guy who obviously has strong opinions on what happened, but was making a PR choice to kind of end the news cycle.
Yep, he said so. He said, this is not, what does he say, not citizen Rick Hahn.
Bruce asked him to put the citizen hat on for that. He's like, no, I can't take off the GM hat.
Take off the GM hat. Yeah, he doesn't need to dunk on Josh Donaldson. A lot of people are in media and otherwise around the country, and they will be dunking on him more. They should be after Tim Anderson spoke today and clarified the history of him calling him Jackie, which he did in 2019, and TA told him, you don't ever do that to me again. We're never going to talk. We're just not going to talk. It was never a joke. It was never an inside joke. That was clarified today. So Rick Hahn doesn't need to hammer that home, and they have work to do. They got games to play. Every day.
Well, that's the thing too, right? About baseball,
you can't just focus on it.
Yeah, you can't.
Gotta let it drive you. You can let it drive you.
Yeah, right. And it's just like in football, there's a rhythm to it where a story, like, not that this story honestly would happen in football, it just wouldn't, for better or worse, but just majority black sport, that would probably not happen.
When Richie Incognito happened.
Yeah, or Riley Cooper happened. I'm not saying that there aren't right. racial incidents in football. I'm just saying
the life cycle is a week at the very least.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And like just like how it works before the next game happens, it's just different. This one, there's the suspension carried it forward. The fact that there was an off day carried it forward. The fact that he hadn't spoken carried it forward.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's over. Right? At least in terms of the news cycle. It maybe isn't in that clubhouse or TA is still dealing with it, but like you're not going to see, I'd be very surprised, if you saw White Sox people commenting on it. And that's a choice.
I'll tell you somewhere it's not over as well is the Yankees clubhouse. I don't know. I don't think it's a lock that Josh Donaldson lasts the year there.
Well, I mean, he's a team of year guy for the last 5 years,
correct?
Right? So that's not, it's an interesting thought, but it's not exactly like the craziest ledge to walk out on.
He
wears out his welcome.
He wears out his welcome everywhere.
He's
seven teams in his life, five in the last 5 years. And he's got a star player speaking out against him, as Aaron Judge did yesterday. He's conveniently placed on the COVID list and sent away. I think it's absolutely in play that he's dealt for some prospects at some point on a very deep team.
Yeah, I think that's possible.
We'll see.
You know, sometimes it's funny on things like this, you want to know who your allies are. Like, you look around, you say something, and you're like, whew, people agreeing with me are not the people I'd want to be agreeing with me in normal circumstances. It was odd for me to experience this from a media standpoint of seeing a lot of New York media, people who do our jobs in New York City, lining up behind Josh Donaldson when their manager didn't and their captain didn't. Like, that's just got to be a weird thing. Like, you're aligning yourself with the guy who's known to be a bag, who's been on five teams in 5 years, who's been on your team for less than 40 games, and you're aligning yourself with him when your captain and manager aren't, and he got suspended, and it's a racial issue, like, and the black guy who it was said to said it was offensive. Like, it's like a weird thing to choose to align yourself on that one. Like, I feel like it's pretty clear that those around Donaldson know that he was wrong.
Well, those around him do know it.
You know what I mean? So it's just an odd thing to, like, now it'd be one thing if the Yankees were like, no. We have JD's back. We know where his heart was. This was a misunderstanding. And
it's not what any of them said.
It's not what any of them said.
So why is it? So you're wondering why it's, some media are
media and fans. Normally, like, you wouldn't run behind. Like, I know we cheer for Laundry. I get that. But it's weird to cheer for the bad guy who wears your laundry when other people who wear your laundry are coming out against it.
Yeah.
It's not as if the Yankees players and management and manager are backing Donaldson. Then I would kind of get it. Like, sports are tribal.
Right.
But it's weird to me that so many people are backing Donaldson when the people that are literally paid to back Donaldson are not backing Donaldson.
You know, but so many fans, and there's some Chicago fans as well, who are like, you know, thought it was okay and thought that TA was overreacting. I feel like, Danny, our culture and our media lives to chop people down when they say too much about themselves that feels braggadocious. I mean, we do it on this show. Just the very nature of ball busting. And that's the very nature of sports media, too. Like, hey, well, slow down. You're not all that. We want everybody to have that attitude about themselves, right?
Yeah.
So when Tim Anderson likens himself to Jackie Robinson, there's a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, come on. Not so fast, buddy. Not so fast. But they don't realize exactly what they're saying not so fast about, because they just read the pull quote, they didn't read the column, and they think it's okay to chop him down for it. But Tim Anderson is allowed to feel a closeness and relatability to Jackie Robinson. He's allowed because of his experience, and he might not have communicated it that well in 2019 because he's not a communicator by trade. So if he didn't communicate it perfectly well to you, maybe you feel it's okay. Like, there's a lot of people who think it's okay to chop him down for saying, how dare he say he's like Jackie Robinson? No, think about it. He's allowed to relate to that experience and feel a closeness that you may not, or that we may not. And just because he didn't say it perfectly doesn't mean that you get to chop him down for it, especially when it's with clear and obvious malice, like Josh Donaldson seems to do a lot of things.
I really hope the White Sox just go on a run here. Just go on a run, get back in first place, beat some good teams. use it as a jumping off point, a galvanizing moment like Joe Kelly told us about yesterday, and put the whole damn thing behind him. Like, the news cycle, I think, has expired on it, and it will be interesting to see if it has lasting effect and if we're referencing it as a story in a season or a turning point in a season. Not really sure how that's going to go. Obviously, the games haven't happened yet. Games tonight, though, interesting matchups both sides of town. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Those network nitwits wouldn't know a decent announcer from a Ken doll.
Do you see what this is?
Yeah, your hand.
It's my fist. When I close it while we're on the air, you close your mouth. That's the most important skill in this job. That's you talking. That's you shutting up. Comprende?
Afternoons on the Score.
Parkinson Spiegel on the Score. Thank you for hanging out with us today. We're off early again for Cubs baseball as they're in Cincinnati. Marcus Stroman on the hill for the Cubs. His second start back since he was out for about 3 weeks. Last time out, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 strikeouts, no walks.
Eat while you can in Cincinnati. That team stinks. Go ahead and get them. How about another Patrick Wisdom homer? How about 5 in a row tonight? Have you seen the new bat? You like the new bat that Patrick Wisdom has?
It's powerful, man.
It's powerful. The bat is cool. It's like it's got a very different knob. It's a newer type of knob situation is what it is on the bottom of the bat.
Okay.
It's an extended knob.
It
almost looks like a... I'm thinking like it's the same size as my beard balm container, but that doesn't apply to anyone else.
No, you're right. Because what it is, imagine the, it's like the thickness of a hockey puck or but maybe
even thicker. Yeah.
Your unit of measurement is beard balm containers?
I'll bring in my beard balm container tomorrow, and you'll see. It's the exact same size as the knob of Patrick.
How about you know those little rolls of athletic tape?
Yeah.
A little bit bigger than that, but of course it's solid wood, and it's at the bottom of the bat. You can
so it's like the size of my edible container is what you're saying.
Probably.
We all got to make it relatable. That makes sense.
We need a better reference point. But
beard balms edible.
It's a grinder. It's more like it looks a lot like a grinder.
Oh, exactly.
It looks like a weed grinder. It really does.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what it is. That's the size of the knob.
Are you grinding or are you having fun?
He was having fun. Doing both.
Did I hear that my guy Christopher Morel used an Eloy Jimenez style bat for his big league homer last week? Did I hear that nugget correctly somewhere?
I might admit, missed that.
I missed that anecdote as well.
There's a lot of bad info out there, so let me double check and make sure that's true.
Say it first.
Yeah.
Wow. I believe it.
That's good. I like that. Eloy Jimenez hitting bombs today.
I could be lying, so that's always on the table.
it's possible.
It's part of your game plan now. We didn't know that before. And you guys are going to the game.
We always say that Tanny just don't believe anything he says.
Right.
He just says things, don't believe anything.
That's what we say about one of our producers, and it's definitely Tanny.
Right.
That is correct.
But I do love his big beard, and I love the way he Instagrams about meat all the time.
I think we got him right.
Yeah.
So you guys are going to the game tonight?
Yeah.
You're going with Gabe?
Going with Gabe, our new teammate here at the Score.
You having fun? You gonna have fun tonight?
As a fun fan, I sure hope so.
All right, good.
As a fan of fun.
Gabe's
beautiful night.
Gabe's a delightful guy.
Yeah, we love Gabe.
Gabe.
Yep. We love Gabe. It's a gorgeous night. Yep. 55, 50 degrees. You know, perfect for just a light jacket.
55-50 seems hot.
Well, between 50 and 55. I'm sorry.
Oh, I got you.
I'm sorry.
My bad.
Nice night. We're sitting behind home plate. It'll be fun.
What do you mean, bring a mob sign?
I think we're going to be too far up to be in the immediate camera shot. So, no mob sign. And also, I don't want to.
Right. Nor would you do it. Yeah. Right. Nor would.
If we were in the scout seats, I'd bring one for sure.
Are you not interested in getting a snack item of consequence from me?
I am, but
he has
access
to those snacks.
I know where the drawer is because Tanny and I stock it for you. But I can get it whenever.
Thanks again for the jerky, Tanny. Yeah. Thanks for that, man. Appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. Of course we're gonna have a good time, and it's a 5 o'clock out, so we can go. We're gonna get there by 5:30, suck down some beers in the parking lot in Lot B, and then head into the park for a 7:10 start.
That is tremendous.
Yeah, I'm gonna get so hammered tonight.
Because you're making Tanny drive you.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is Tanny's gig. I haven't been driven anywhere by Tanny in my entire life.
We did have a moment last week where Speaks and I met by the elevator coincidentally, and that was the night I had to get home last week. Couldn't make it out to Max Sun's concert. I was like, sorry, Speaks, I'd take you home to continue the tradition, but I just can't.
You had the best line. You didn't really want to take me home because you said, I got to get home. My wife has a hair appointment. I was like, man, what a bunching. Oh, wait, no, that was actually true.
It was an actual thing.
Didn't that sound like a line, though?
Oh, of course. Yeah, the dog ate my homework. Yeah. My wife has a hair appointment.
I'd love to give you a ride, but my wife has a hair appointment.
I cannot find any trace of Chris Morrell using an Eloy bat, by the way. The internet is vast. I understand that. But I cannot find any trace of
but
that.
But you know how to Google things.
Yeah.
Right? So you put their two names in.
Exactly.
Perhaps it's a nugget only interesting enough that only I would care about it. So like someone begins to type that out. Like, no one cares about this.
The account that puts out the whatchamacallit, the Pope tweets, is the one that put it out, so only you saw it.
If OJ must have said it. That's why Tanny knows about it. OJ must have been talking about Chris Morrell using
an Eloy
bat.
Hey, everybody, it's OJ Mahomes. I really enjoyed that Christopher Morrell.
Did you guys know any of this?
I'm just saying.
COVID-19 is still out there.
Out there, baby.
No more politics. From now on, we only talk sports.
Okay,
you know
OJ.
What? That's a pretty good idea, actually.
Yeah, whatever.
That's one of those days.
Whatever, man. It's one of those days. It's one of those days. And there will be another one next week and the week after and the week after that and all of those damn days. All right, anyway.
Hey, congratulations to the Chicago Sky who are going to get their ring tonight.
Oh, is the comptroller going to be there?
I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Tony Preckwinkle.
Is the rapper out there inciting violence?
Oh, God.
Oh, that's what I'm forever going to think of. Whenever I think of the Sky winning their title, I will think of their parade and all of the pandering that went along with it as low-level politicians were introduced with exciting fanfare.
How many people are going to be introduced at this thing? Like, of course.
And now, Scott Town, I need us to give it up for Cook County President Preckwinkle!
Oh, yeah. Tony was in the house.
That's right.
Judy Bartopinka.
JB Pritzker just waddling his ass out there.
Oh, now that's unnecessary.
We're trying to get him on the show.
I am a heavy person. And the heavy do not need that from you, Shane.
I
am gravitationally challenged. I know. Oh, it's unfortunate for all concerned.
Now we would like to give a warm welcome to our governor, J.B. Brisker.
Wow.
Let's make some noise.
That's an actual one. Yeah,
in the same venue that the Chicago Symphony Orchestra plays their outdoor summer concerts. Doing the Sky Celebration Parade.
Sky Town.
Give it up.
Sky
Town.
Shut down.
Give it up for the third assistant attorney general.
The Sky.
Congrats to the Sky.
Yeah, of course. Congrats on the ring.
Real quick, by the way, Odyssey softball victory last night, 16-2 win over WGN-TV. I noticed we didn't talk about that today.
Oh, no, it didn't come up.
I happen to have another three-run homer. So.
Is it going
to
be fun for you if you guys just slaughter rule every team?
We play the two worst teams in the league, so it's a good test. We've shown that we can score runs, and that's all that matters. We'll be okay.
Well, I'm not concerned. You're slaughtering the other teams.
I'm also like switching out our starters in like the fourth inning.
This is good.
But that's
this
not
is,
everybody at bat.
This
no,
is when won't. the bad players get their chances.
That's not it. No, we don't have any bad players. We have legit players. I'm very happy about being inclusive, but I got to keep our best people in there.
Yeah, this is when the second stringers eat. Is what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that is a very different tone than favorite line of Shane's 2021, which was the real problem here is inclusion. he said
dude, we had 22 people out there last night. It's simply too many people on a softball
problem
team.
Here is inclusion.
It was in the context of the softball team, but it absolutely killed me. Thank you to Joe Ostrowski and Mark Grody and Steve Stone.
Makes me want to talk to Flula. I don't know why.
We appreciate Connor O'Donnell and Ray Diaz and Shane Reardon and Chris Tannehill. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
And that'll basically be the show because we don't have much time for anything else.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!